Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome back to Hilchos Shabbos. We were in the middle, basically in the middle of a topic last time. I'm going to do a screen share, bring Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa back up to the front here. We started speaking about things that we do and don't do on Erev Shabbos. So last week, we were speaking about Shehia, about keeping food on a flame or on a fire already from before Shabbos. We spoke about how some of that activity really does need to be curtailed, needs to be done properly. Things need to be covered. Food potentially needs to be well on its way to being cooked, assuming it's on an open flame. So this week we turn our attention to insulating. And you might ask, how frequently does insulating food really come up? It doesn't seem like the kind of thing we might do. We'll see. We'll discuss. We'll talk about different scenarios where it's very, very likely to come up and some of the things that we need to keep in mind with respect to Hatmana on Shabbos. So insulating not only actually on Shabbos itself, but also before Shabbos, going into Shabbos, much like we discussed Shehia last week. As always, please feel free to take yourselves off mute, ask questions, comments, tell me to slow down, tell me to clarify, whatever you like, as we go through this limud tonight. So we left off, I believe, in Os Samach Dalid. Let's pick up from there. And first, the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa is going to introduce us to just a number of different possible factors or possible qualities that Hatmana might take on. And each one or each scenario, each quality actually creates a difference with respect to the actual halacha. So let's take a look at some of the things that we'll need to keep in mind as we consider whether Hatmana, whether insulating is mutter or is usur on Shabbos or even on Erev Shabbos. So we start there. B'dinei Hatmana yesh lahavdil ben Hatmana mi ba'od yom v'Hatmana b'Shabbos. First and foremost, we need to discuss differences. We need to recognize that there is a difference between doing this on Erev Shabbos and doing this on Shabbos itself. As you might have guessed, usually with respect to these kinds of halachos, malachos and bishul in particular, there is far greater latitude that we have before Shabbos than on Shabbos. In fact, it's even unusual, certainly with respect to other malachos, to even think about something being usur, or that idea, the idea that we need to curtail our behavior even on Erev Shabbos is sort of unusual. But again, we certainly have more flexibility on Erev Shabbos than we do on Shabbos itself. So that's one issue that we'll have to keep in mind. Issue number one. Issue number two, Bein Hatmana Shemosifa Chom, V'Hatmana She'ena Mosifa Chom, Aval Shomeres Alav. Also the distinction, the difference between insulating in a manner that creates greater heat, that increases the heat, increases the temperature of the food that's being insulated, as opposed to sort of insulation, the sort of insulation that simply controls or simply maintains. It's just shomer esalav. It maintains the heat that the temperature that the food, let's say, is already out. I think largely when we think about insulating, we don't usually think about increasing the heat. Increasing the heat is an act of cooking or it's an act of warming. When we think about insulating, it means taking something that's already hot and you put it into one of those like foil bags, one of those hot, cold bags or whatever. You put it into like one of those lunch boxes with the, you know, with like the foam lining and you zip up the top and that'll keep all the heat, as much heat as possible inside. We think about a thermos, right? Pouring food into a thermos. It's not going to make it any hotter than it was. It'll simply maintain whatever the heat, whatever temperature it's already at and whatever heat already is within the food. So that's true. Generally, that's what we think of when we talk about Hatmana and when we do Hatmana, when we insulate things. But the reality is, if there is also a source of heat, and then you are further insulating the actual food, or let's say insulating a pot or insulating a pan, that's when we can get into some of these other challenging considerations. That, let's say you have food, we'll talk about this. Let's say you have food sitting on top of a blech, or food sitting on top of a plata, food sitting on top of a hot plate. Maybe some other arrangements, and then let's say wrapping it up in a towel, wrapping it up in a blanket. So now you have a scenario in which it's both insulated, but it's also mosif, either hevel or mosif chom, that it increases. You're now increasing the temperature. So you're increasing the temperature because there's actually a source of heat beneath, and you're also insulating the food itself. That becomes more problematic. Okay, so a couple of conditions. Condition number one, or consideration number one, is it Shabbos or is it Erev Shabbos? Condition number two, is the heat simply being maintained or is it even being increased? Consideration number three, ben hatmana b'chli rishon, hakli shebo nisbash al hatavshil. There's a difference between hatmana in a kli rishon or upon or surrounding a kli rishon, the vessel, the pot, the pan, in which the food was originally cooked, as opposed to a vatamana, or in which it's been recently heated, let's say, vatamana b'chli sheni, versus vatamana kli in a kli sheni, a kli that food has been transferred into from the original kli in which it was cooked. Another consideration, kli rishon, kli sheni. We know a lot about kli rishon and kli sheni at this point. Further, ubein hatmana stavshel shachumo kadei shahayad tehesel edesbo, also, as is always the case with Hilchos Bishul, we need to be conscious of the actual temperature. Is this already Yad Soledes Bo? Is it at a point at which we would say that there's sufficient heat to actually cook something? And then we get on much greater alert when it comes to any act of Bishul, Hatmana, any of these things. Or is it not at Yad Soledes? In which case, if it's at a lower temperature, so then again, we'd have more wiggle room. Okay, so four considerations all in all that we need to be mindful of when we're having this conversation about Hatmana. Number one, is this taking place before Shabbos or on Shabbos? Even before Shabbos, this is something to be concerned about, but certainly on Shabbos, all the more so. Number two, are we dealing with an increase in heat or simply maintaining, preserving the heat that is already contained within the food? Number three, are we dealing with a kli rishon or a kli sheni or perhaps even something less? And then finally, number four, are we talking about something that is at a temperature, past a temperature of Yad Soledes Bo, whatever we said that is 90 some odd degrees, or is it less than that? Okay, having laid out all of those possible concerns, all those possible considerations, let's begin to see how they actually factor in to this conversation of Hatmana on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos. Let me expand this text a little easier on the eyes here. So Samech, here we go. Mutter lahatmin mi ba'od yom. It is mutter to perform hatmana mi ba'od yom while it's still day, meaning on Erev Shabbos. Before Shabbos, what is mutter? It would be mutter to insulate kedera, a pot, uba tavshil, and there's cooked food inside of it, l'shem shmiras chumo, for the purpose of simply preserving, simply maintaining the heat that's inside of that pot. Not that I'm trying to kick up the heat through some means of insulation. And I spoke about a couple of scenarios in which this might even happen bizman hazeh. Let's just backtrack to the point at which the actual time period at which the Gemara and even the Mishnayos were discussing these issues. So what would sometimes be done is in order to ensure that a pot would not only stay hot, but perhaps even as a means of actually cooking the contents, it could be insulated. It could be insulated by, let's say, digging a cavity in the ground, digging a cavity in the earthen floor of a home, earthen floor of a kitchen, maybe even outside, and then filling it with different substances. Now, you filled it with different substances, still leave enough room for the actual pot to be inserted, and then the pot goes in, and one of two things could happen. Either that would, again, simply act to insulate the pot and keep the heat from dissipating too quickly. Or it could even act as a means of actually increasing the temperature. How would it increase the temperature? Well, one of two ways. Either we're dealing with something that has its own heat content itself. Let's say something like, meaning actual, through actual fire, coals. So you dig a pit in the ground, you fill it up with coals, and then you put the pot inside of it. That is just another act of cooking. You've basically created like a makeshift oven. So that might be referred to in what was then popular parlance as hatmana, as insulating. We might even call that an act of cooking, but nevertheless, that still might be what we're talking about. There are other things also that could be done. Let's say that well that you've dug out was then filled with, let's say, like organic matter that combined with the residual heat of the pot would then actually start to decompose. And as it starts to decompose, let's say it's already partially there, it's already starting to break down. And then it breaks down even further. And as it breaks down, what happens? So heat is released. It's like if you ever turn over like a compost heap, there can actually be, aside from the fumes, the stink that rises out of it, but fumes in terms of heat actually rising up out of a compost heap. It's actually hot. It's actually warm because as it decomposes, heat is released. So that is one of the things that's discussed in the Mishnah and in the Gemara as well. So those would be the kinds of scenarios that we'd be talking about then, back in those times. But again, bizman hazeh, through electrical means or other sources of heat, we could potentially come upon a means of insulating something with, let's say, a burner at the bottom or a plata, like an electric coil at the bottom, and that would continue to heat the food that is being insulated. So that would be problematic. Okay, so here's what we're talking. We're talking about, again, Erev Shabbos now. Let's say you wrap it up in pillows, or you wrap up this pot in a blanket. So if you're wrapping it up in pillows and a blanket, that's just keeping the food maintained, maintained within the food, within the pot of food. The heat isn't able to dissipate as quickly, and that's keeping the food hot. It's not increasing the heat or the temperature of the pot in any which way. Even if, let's say, you have the food on top of another pot, so one pot on top of the other, and the bottom pot is still very, very hot, and you wrap up the whole thing, so now the bottom pot almost serves as a source of heat, but it's not really a source of heat, right? It might be hotter. Let's say the bottom pot might be hotter than the top one, so we're hoping that that continues to add heat to the top pot, but there's still no active source of heat. There's nothing, again, that's decomposing and continuously releasing heat. There's nothing that is plugged into the wall and through electrical current is producing heat. There's no real source of heat here. And mamnam eina agabe ha'esh, as long as that bottom pot isn't itself also agabe ha'esh, actually on the fire directly. So all of that would be mutter on Erev Shabbos. If you're catching the trend here, what we're saying is that it's mutter on Erev Shabbos to insulate, to wrap up a pot, so long as the pot that you're wrapping up, you're not increasing the temperature of that food in any which way. But even on Erev Shabbos, if you wrap it up in such a way that you are increasing, you are kicking up the heat of that pot in some form or another, that would be usur. That's what he's going to go on to say here in this next sentence. Ach usur lahatmina, afil mivod yom. Even on Erev Shabbos, the following is usur. Ba'ofen sheyosif chom, in a manner that increases the heat. Kigon, for instance, kisui hakadera bismichot. Let's say you cover the pot with blankets. Kishahi al gabe ha'ish, while it's actually on the fire. I know what you're thinking. Covering up a pot, wrapping up a pot in a blanket while it's sitting on the fire is a terrible idea. So he notes in parentheses whether this is just for liability issues or not. Afil mechuseh al yedei asbest. I remember we were speaking about the asbestos hot plates. So whatever it is, some sort of, even if there's some sort of barrier between the actual burner, the actual fire, and the pot, nevertheless, there's an active source of heat beneath the pot. So now you're insulating in such a way that's not only preserving the heat, but is actually in tandem with that heat source, is actually increasing the temperature of the pot. Oh, agabe plata chashmalit, or let's say it's sitting on top of an electric hot plate. So that is all asr. V'ilu b'shabbos atzma, asr lahatmin. Now, so that all of that is on Erev Shabbos. Okay, so Erev Shabbos, what's mutter and what's asr? And this is the first chiluk that he spoke about, first distinction that he made, really the first two distinctions that he made were funneling together. You need to be conscious of, are you doing something on before Shabbos or on Shabbos? And are you simply preserving heat or increasing heat? So this is very important. On Erev Shabbos, it's mutter to insulate in such a way that you're simply preserving the heat. So you want to take a pot and wrap it in a million layers of aluminum foil, 9x13 in layer after layer after layer of aluminum foil in order to keep it warm. You want to wrap it up in, towels, pillows, blankets, what have you. By all means, stick it into one of those insulated bags I was talking about before, like the silvery material, or one of those lunch boxes with like the foam liner inside. Put it into a cool plastic insulated cooler, all mutter before Shabbos, because you're not increasing the temperature. But if you are increasing the temperature because you've wrapped something up in a blanket and now it's also sitting on top of the fire, that would be problematic. So I'll give you a couple of examples before we move on to Shabbos itself. So this could happen. It could happen even in your own kitchen. My parents for a very long time had an urn, had a hot water urn. It was one of like the old school, just regular, metal, like catering style urns, not like the actual Shabbos, like pump, variety that they sell in like the Buzz and all the Hamish stores. So it wasn't insulated. So what they would do is they would wrap it they wrap it in like a towel in order to try to insulate it, because the actual surface, the metal surface, conducted heat very well, but it also allowed the heat to dissipate. What's great about the pumps is that the entire vessel in which the water is actually boiling and stays hot is then wrapped in this plastic jacket, basically, that keeps it better insulated, so that the water really comes out piping hot, and that's how it's made already before Shabbos. We'll speak about thermoses a little later, but that sort of thing. So they were careful. So they were careful just to make sure that when they were doing so, they were careful to make sure that when they were wrapping it up in a towel, let's say wrapping up the whole urn in a towel, this was on Erev Shabbos, you're just doing it in such a way that it's not completely wrapped up, because if it was completely wrapped up, completely insulated, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, that really would be a problematic. Now you're insulating on Erev Shabbos with a davar shemosif hevel, or davar shemosif chom, something that actually increases the heat, that is problematic. So it can certainly happen in that sort of capacity where you want to keep something really, really piping hot, and so it's sitting on a source of heat and then also wrapped. It can also happen, and this would be a manner in which it might be mutter, especially if you're trying to do kind of like a makeshift Shabbos Uda. So my wife and I were once away for Shabbos we were in Florida, and we had a kitchenette in the room. So we got like some takeout for Friday night on Erev Shabbos, and we were like, you know, double wrapping everything. It had a microwave. It's obviously not kosher, and to go through the throes of actually koshering it was a pain in the neck. So we were just like double wrapping everything, and then we were heating it up. So this was all on Erev Shabbos. What we then did was we were like wrapping, you know, one plastic bag, another plastic bag, and more tin aluminum foil, and more aluminum foil, and then taking all the towels that that we had in the hotel room, and like wrapping everything up in order just to keep everything as hot as possible, because we didn't have a real means of keeping it on, let's say, a hot plate all the way until we were going to eat our Shabbos Uda. So again, doing that, totally mutter, because that is only preserving, only maintaining the heat from before Shabbos. Shiley here. What about food that is in a Shabbos oven from before Shabbos starts and continues until it goes off around Kiddush time? How soon before Shabbos does the oven need to be put on? So I don't know that there's really any issue of actual insulating there, right? If you're talking about an oven, we'll see why, right? When we speak about insulating something, we're talking about directly hugging the actual pot. So keeping a pot inside of an oven is not really a shaila of insulating. You know, assuming I'm getting everything, that would be okay. If there's something I'm missing, feel free to follow up. But that wouldn't really be a shaila of insulating, because again, sitting in a big comfy spacious oven doesn't get to a point of being an issue of insulating to begin with. But we'll circle back to that. So that's all, Eric.
Can I just ask a clarification?
Oh, yeah.
So based on what you said about the urn, you're saying like before Shabbos, sometimes I have a challen pot on the blech, let's say, and I want to leave the flame a little bit lower to, especially in the summer, you know, I want to minimize the heat in the house. So I would put like a dish towel, let's say, draped over the top of it. So it's not covering the whole thing.
It's not covering the whole thing because of what? Because it doesn't go all the way down to the bottom.
Is that right? It's just like covering the center of the lid. Even part of the lid is sticking out on the side. So it's just like folded up, because I wouldn't want it draping over the side in case of fire. So it's like folded up in the very center, just to insulate it a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll talk about the crock pot in of itself. Well, we'll talk about all of that. We'll talk about the degree to which this becomes problematic, but that sounds...
Okay.
That
certainly
sounds fine. That sounds very, very mutter.
Okay.
So let's talk about
Rabbi, if Rivki has her shalom pot on the fire.
Right.
But okay, so didn't you just say now if it's on the fire, it's a problem?
If it's on the fire, insulating is a problem. It sounds like what Rivki was describing is not insulating to begin with.
Okay.
Right. All right. So in other words, if it was on the fire and I said to you, I'm wrapping it up 100% in the dish towel, so every single part of it is covered, that would be a problem. Because I'm putting the dish towel.
Correct. Even on Erev Shabbos, that would be a problem. Even on Erev Shabbos, that would be a problem.
Right.
So that's right. Why I say that.
But because I'm putting the dish towel just in the center.
Correct. Like what my parents did with the towels, it didn't go all the way down to the, I don't remember exactly. It didn't go all the way down to the bottom, or it didn't go all the way up to the top. And, you know, it helped basically keep, it helped keep the hot water inside much hotter, but not, but it wasn't completely concealed or completely covered, completely wrapped up. So that is, that would be mutter on Erev Shabbos. If it was complete, because I just want to be clear, because it's not really insulating to begin with. If it was insulating, meaning to that in that respect, it would be mutter even on Shabbos itself, right? Because it's not really hot tamar. That's not really insulating. But if it was completely wrapped up, and there's also a source of heat underneath, like the case would be with an urn or with a chalon pot, so then that would be a problem even on Erev Shabbos. Let's look.
But maybe in a crock pot, it might actually be a problem. If I put a dish towel, I don't use a crock pot usually, but if I were to do that with a crock pot, like I put a dish towel and it's covering the whole lid, would
then
that be considered?
There's nothing else that's exposed. Yeah, so we'll speak about that.
Right.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Okay.
Meaning if what we're relying upon to say that in the first place, we'll talk about crock pots in a little bit. So we'll circle back to it. I forget about it when we get to crock pots, if you just remind me, but we'll get there.
Okay.
So let's take a look at what it actually looks like on Shabbos. V'ilu b'Shabbos atzma aser lahatmina afilu ba'ofen. It's aser to perform hatman. It's aser to insulate on Shabbos, even in a manner. Let's go she'eno. Even in a manner she'eno. Here we go. She'eno mosif chum. Even if chum. Even if it's not increasing the heat at all. V'afilu atashim lufishul kol tzarcho. And even if the food is completely cooked. So the food is completely cooked. We're not talking about bishul. There's no issue of bishul here. But simply wrapping it up in a towel on Shabbos is a problem of hatmana. It's a problem of hatmana. Again, it's not an iser d'oraisa. We're not talking about an actual problem of bishul. We're talking about considerations that the Rabbanan had when it came to wrapping something up on Shabbos. You might come to wrap it up with something that actually could increase the heat and actually could help to speed up the cooking process. V'lachen, and therefore, also hachnes kufsat shimurim segura al ha'ochel. Sheba lesoch mayim chamim. Talks about taking, let's say, a can, taking a can like canned goods, and taking a can and wanting to heat it up, and heating it up by, let's say, completely submerging it in hot water. So now that hot water is completely surrounding, assuming that's the case, but if it's completely surrounding the can of food, even if you had a way of, you know, properly opening it without, you know, any issues of like makom b'patish and other things that we've discussed previously, that would be a problem of hatmana on Shabbos. It's becoming completely surrounded, completely concealed in that hot water. That's a problem on Shabbos. Afilu einam omdim al gabei ha'ish, even if it's not actually on the fire. So even if, let's say, it was already hot, and even if it's not, you're not making it any hotter than it already was, but simply this act of insulation on Shabbos would be problematic. I think he gets to it a little later, so I might be stealing his thunder. But let's say something like a baby bottle on Shabbos also, which I think we spoke about previously, heating up a baby bottle by pouring, let's say, hot water over it. But you just have to be careful that if you're inserting it into an actual mug or a bowl full of hot water, that it doesn't completely cover up the entirety of the bottle. Sorry, Natalie, you had a question?
I was going to bring up the baby bottle, and I was going to ask if it was a klishlishi, then does that become okay, since there's no...
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I think you still need to be careful. You still need to be careful that because the notion of the kalim of what number kli we're dealing with refers to and speaks to the actual food that's being cooked, right? The vessel that contains the food that's either being cooked or being heated. So I don't believe that's relevant to that case. You just need to be careful. I mean, it absolutely can be done. It can be done in one of two ways. It can be done either by just running and rinsing, or just making sure that, let's say, the actual top of the bottle remains, you know, somewhat slightly above the surface of the water, which oftentimes it will, simply because I think because of like the densities, it'll tend to like float a little bit, and it won't become completely submerged. That's the only thing that you want to be careful. Which, again, going back to Rifki's point before, is really like the easiest way out of all of these considerations is just making sure, oh, I'm not sure, mosif chom, not mosif chom, adds heat, it's not adding heat, I'm preserving the heat, it's the same amount of heat, it's increasing the heat, it's a problem, it's not a problem. So what we should be aware of is that you can really circumvent the whole issue just by making sure that it's not hatmana in the first place, that it's not really insulating in the first place because it's not actually completely wrapped up or completely concealed within whatever material it is that we are using. We still need to be mindful of actual bishul issues potentially, but so then Natalie, certainly if you're talking about either using a kli sheni, right, that the hot water is now in a kli sheni, that can't actually penetrate the milk and then be said to halachically be cooking the milk, because already pouring out of a kli rishon only cooks kidei klipa. We say it only cooks the outer surface of whatever it is that we're heating, which means that it's cooking the actual bottle itself, but it's not halachically cooking the milk inside. It's just warming it up. That would also be that would be mutter from a bishul perspective, certainly. Okay. Let's take a look at Samach Vav. Okay, Umash Emarnu Sha'aser Lahatmin. So when we've said, or that which we've said, that it's aser to insulate, Eino Ela Ali De Kisui Hakadera Mikot Stadeha. Okay, so now we get to it. When we're talking about Hatmana, we're talking about completely covering the object, completely covering, let's say, the pot or the pan or the bottle. But if you're not completely covering it from all sides, Ein Kan Mishum Hatmana. That's not a problem of hatmana. U'motor la'asos kein, and it's mutter to do so. Afilu b'Shabbos atzma, even on Shabbos itself, because that's not insulating in the first place. So meaning even if you have, let's say, a pot of food on a hot plate. So now when you insulate, oh, you're also increasing the heat. That's certainly usher on Shabbos. It's even usher on Erev Shabbos. But if you're careful, if you're mindful to not actually insulate, then you're in the clear. That would be mutter. Imamnam hadavshul mevushul kol tzarcho, as long as the cooked food is completely cooked, as long as you're avoiding any actual bishul problem, you could run afoul of bishul, right? If something was, let's say, put on the flame before Shabbos in a manner that was mutter, and then you come along and you throw a towel on top, that increases the heat. That's a real bishul problem on Shabbos. But if everything's already completely cooked, then we don't have a bishul issue. We don't have a hatmana issue if it's not completely hugging and completely covering the entirety of the pot. I'm sorry, for lunitzan legamrei. Oshu yavish, either that it's liquid that hasn't completely cooled down, or that it's yavish, that it's a solid dry food and it's been completely cooked. And it's only considered to be atmana if the kisui actually touches, let's say like the blanket or the towel that you're wrapping it in, that it actually comes in contact with the sides of the pot itself. Therefore, if you're covering a pot, even if that pot is on the fire, with a cover that somehow or another is wider than the actual pot itself, and then you drape a blanket over in such a way that the blanket doesn't actually come in contact, doesn't actually touch the sides of the pot itself, that's not hatmana at all. Even if you do this on Shabbos itself, as long as the food is completely cooked. Again, if it's not completely cooked, forget about hatmana. You have an iser del rice on your hands. You have an iser of bishul on your hands. That would actually be cooking. You could put a pot inside of like some other like box or some other like a vessel inside of a vessel, right? As long as it's like some other container, as long as the outer container, the larger container, doesn't come into direct contact, doesn't directly touch the walls of the inner container. She's gur mikol tzadim, even if it's closed on all sides, ve'omedes al gabe ha'esh amenas lishmor es chom al chom hatavshio. V'motzi esakadera min hapach b'shabbos. And if you take food out of this contraption on Shabbos, then again, you can always return food back to its original state of hatmana on Shabbos, much the same way that I could always return food back to its previous state of actually being on a flame on Shabbos. So the same way that if I take food even from a blech, I take food off a blech, if I'm still holding it and it's completely cooked, I could put it back on the blech. Similarly, if I took it out of its, you know, cover and I take it off, I can then put it back on and I can recover it even on Shabbos. That measure of returning it to its original state, that is always mutter. Now he just references, his next sentence references the issue with the bottle of milk that we already addressed. So
could I ask a question? Oh, sorry.
No, Rifki, no problem. Let me just clarify, because really there are two different points here. I want to make sure that we got both of them. Really what he's outlined is that there are two different issues that would obviate Hatmana, right? That would make it so that Hatmana hasn't really been accomplished, that it hasn't actually been triggered. Okay, issue number one is if it's not completely covered. So that if, let's say, you drape a blanket, right, Rifki, this is your case. Let's say you drape a blanket, you drape a towel over, let's say, a regular pot. You have a pot, it's sitting on the stove, sitting on the blech. So I put it there before Shabbos, everything, kedas v'chadin, totally mutter. And now I want to just make sure that it stays hot. So draping, let's say, a dish towel over the top, but the bottom half, the bottom third even, of the pot is clearly exposed beneath the dish towel, that's completely mutter. That's not considered to be hatman at all. It's not really insulating, right? That's no way to insulate. Insulating means that you completely ensconce the pot in whatever material that you're using in order to either preserve or kick up the heat. So that's number one. Number two is, even if it is completely covered, if it's not touching, it's still mutter. So let's talk about a larger dish towel. Let's talk about even a blanket. So I have a pot sitting on the stove, but instead of just using the regular lid that actually fits this pot snugly, let's say I take a lid from a larger pot and I put that on top of the pot that's sitting on the stove. So now when I drape the towel over top, that towel might come straight down even to the blech. Let's assume that you're not worried for whatever daredevil reason, you're not concerned about lighting the dish towel on fire. But even if it drapes all the way down to the blech, no problem. Because it's true, it's completely covered, but it's not insulating the actual pot, because it's not a snug fit. It's just you're creating like a tent. You're creating like a hood for the pot to remain under. That's not really considered to be insulated, which is why, Minora, your question about an oven, that's why that's not a problem of insulation. That's not really a problem of hatmana on Shabbos, because it's not like the walls of the oven are actually snugly hugging the pot that's put inside. That would just be, you'd have all the regular considerations of heating up food before Shabbos, and how you put it in, and Shabbos mode, and all the other things that we've spoken about, but it wouldn't be an actual hatmana issue. Okay, I just wanted to make
clear. Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, sure.
The reason it's usher our Shabbos is because there's a concern that it might carry on through Shabbos.
Yeah, I believe so. It's been a little while, but yeah, I believe that's the original, that's the actual concern. There is no way to actually violate Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, right? No way to do that. Okay. So the concern, I'm not sure that it's necessarily that it's as much carrying into Shabbos, but more that if you use those types of materials that themselves are, let's say, coal, like hot coals. If you use it even before Shabbos, what happens when you remove the pot and then stirring those coals, and perhaps it being an issue of mavir? I believe that is the case. Shabbos was already a little while ago, but I'm pretty sure that those are the concerns. And then on Shabbos itself, that it might be brought to a, you might get carried away and be brought to an actual issue of either of Bishul, or might just be a step removed, but still consideration of Havara, might even be both. There are a couple of considerations depending on the actual kind of material that you're using. Potentially just jostling that material around could be problematic in of itself.
So I have another question about something that I do that I think, based on what you're saying, I don't have to do. So I bed my chicken soup for Shabbos. So weeks like in the summer when we don't want to have a blech, I'll put the chicken soup in blankets and pillows in my bed and then take it out for the Suda, right? So I've had a couple of times that I bed it, I light candles, and then one of the kids, I didn't take out chicken for the little kids or whatever. So I thought that I was not able to unwrap it and then rewrap it on Shabbos, but you're saying I actually could, I think, right?
Back into that state if it was already in that state before Shabbos.
Okay. So I could unwrap it and then put it back in the same, take out the chicken soup for the kid and put
you
it back
just,
in the same
You way. Just have all of the same consideration, meaning that that would be similar to putting something back on the blech. So meaning to say that you have...
I have to hold on to it.
Yeah, it might, have still, in mind. It might be more cumbersome than it's worth. I don't know, but assuming you can abide by all that, you have kavanah to put it back. It's completely cooked. You're still holding on to it. You don't. You never really. You know. You never really put it down without continuously holding on to it. Then
right,
you,
right, you, okay. I guess it depends how desperate the kid is.
Right, right, right.
Okay, thank
which
you.
Is what most of life comes down okay. to. How desperate are those kids? Okay, so let's take a look at Tzalach Zayin here. Kederes Shaisa Mechusa B'Smichot V'Chadome Milifnei Shabbos. Something's covered over in blankets from before Shabbos. Here we go. If you think this is your question exactly, Mutter L'Galosa V'Lashu L'Chasosa. So it's Mutter to uncover it and then recover it on Shabbos. V'Gam Imnis Galsa Me'Aleha. By the way, sometimes this happens on its own. Oh, I made all this by me. I made the beautiful bed and whatever it is that you do to your chicken soup, you tuck it in and you sing it a lullaby and you say Kriyashma to your chicken soup and you say, you sing Hamalach to... you know, to the chickens. We went through all those efforts to make sure that the pot of chickens had a nice comfy bed before Shabbos. And then, I don't know, somebody's running through the kitchen and they, I don't know, and yanks on the end of the blanket and it all comes unraveled. Again, mutter l'shuv l'chasosa. So it's mutter to recover it. Fafil l'chasosa b'smichot acheros chamos yoser. Even if you want to use thicker blankets, as long as it first started off in a state of what we would consider to be nitman, considered to be already insulated, then it would be mutter to even up the ante. Even to add additional blankets, that would all be mutter. Why? Once it's achieved the status of mutmenes, so then you could even add to it if you so wanted to. This is all obviously the case only when it comes to... tavshil that is completely cooked. Okay. Le'es ha tzorech. So if there would be a real need, then mutter lahatmin b'shabbos gam tavshil shenasun b'chli rishon. Ideally, we would only, even when it comes to this sort of hatmana that's actually mutter on Shabbos, we try to do so only in a kli sheni. But if there's a real need, we could do so even in a kli rishon, even on Shabbos. Again, if it's just there to, gam tavshil shenasun b'chli rishon, even food that was put into a kli rishon, or that is in a kli rishon, almanas lishmor al chumo, as long as the food is not actually yad soledes, right? If this is really necessary. If the actual heat of the food, if there's a real need, and the heat of the food is not even yad soledes, then strictly speaking, hatmana doesn't really apply. Right? Hatmana is a consideration more when we are above the point of yad soledes. So if it's beneath the point of Yad Saledes, everything we've said about it being usur to do on Shabbos, any sort of hatmana being usur on Shabbos is the case when it's above Yad Saledes and you're trying to preserve heat that's above Yad Saledes. Strictly speaking, if it's beneath Yad Saledes and there's also a real need, Le'isat Sarach, he writes, then it would be mutter to perform hatmana on that food, even on Shabbos. You'd be speaking about pretty, tepid food, but still, you want to make sure that, you know, there's a difference between, I don't know, tepid or lukewarm and really icy. So that would be mutter even on Shabbos itself. Mutter l'havir tavshil mikli rishon l'kli sheni l'hatmina bo. It's mutter also to transfer food from a kli rishon into a kli sheni and then to perform hatmana on that kli sheni, afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, b'davar she'enu mosif chom, as long as it's something that doesn't increase the heat. Klomar, in other words, l'chasos kli sheni ze bismichos v'chadome. So the previous halacha was, even in a kli rishon, if it is lower than yad soledes, it's mutter. The other possibility is that we transfer from the kli rishon into a kli sheni, and then it would be mutter to perform hatmana on that kli sheni. V'lachein, therefore. So in kavsa ha'esh, so let's talk about the following scenario. Let's say the fire went out under the blech, or the, I don't know, the plata got unplugged or short-circuited, and it's not hot anymore. Now there's this concern that the food that's on the stove or on the hot plate, it's tanin, yes, or alhamida is going to get too cold. Yavir oso l'kli acher. Here's what you do. Even on Shabbos, transfer it into a different kli. Transfer it into a different kli. Now it's in a kli sheni. In the kli sheni, now it would be mutter to cover it with a blanket. Voso yichaseh bismichot almanas l'shmor al chom hatavshil. Then it would be mutter to cover it with a blanket, even if it's real hatmana, in order to simply preserve the cooked food. Not mutter to do in a kli rishon, at least not ideally, again, as he said before, only if it's beneath the point of Yad Zaledes. In this case, even if it is Yad Zaledes, it's Yad Zaledes, I'm afraid that everything's going to get so cold, quickly pour, transfer it to other pots, other pans, whatever, and then it would be mutter to even cover, to even insulate it with, let's say, pillows and blankets and whatever else, even on Shabbos itself. Ayin, mutter l'malos b'Shabbos bakbuk termos. It's mutter to fill up a thermos on Shabbos, b'mayim chamin mikli rishon, from a kli rishon. So we used to do this actually having a, you can fill up a chinek, like a tea kettle, right? And bring the tea kettle to the table. The problem is bringing the tea kettle to the table, like by the time it all goes round. So everybody's tea is totally cold. So they have like insulated, you know, thermos style, like tea kettles. So you can fill up directly from the urn. And then it remains hot in the actual kettle when you bring it to the table. You have to make sure that obviously it's completely dry, because if it's not completely dry, if there are little droplets of water inside, so then you're actually cooking those droplets of water. So that's a bishul consideration. Levnation mamalamo, so you have to make sure that the thermos is completely dry. But then a thermos atzmo kedin kli sheni. And then we consider that thermos to be like a kli sheni, which by the way is also interesting in of itself. Meaning to say that as follows, one of the svaras that's given as to why there is such a distinction in halacha between kli rishon and kli sheni is that there is a presumed heat transfer and drop off in heat when you go from kli rishon to kli sheni. If you're pouring directly into something that's completely insulated, so that drop off in heat, the drop off in temperature between the kli rishon and the kli sheni is going to be much more, it's going to be minute compared to something that's not insulated. So you might suggest that maybe that thermos should still have the status of the kli rishon. It's no different from the urn itself. We don't say that. We say that it still is considered to be a kli sheni because of that transfer. It says similarly, v'chein mutter l'malos bakbuk cham, heat like a hot water bottle. Again, kishe pinimo yavish l'gamri, when there's no water inside that you might inadvertently accidentally be cooking. Again, that's a bishul issue. Can't get so focused on some of these like ancillary Dine Durabanan or issues me Durabanan that we forget about actual bishul. If there is cold water inside of that or little droplets of cold water, that could be a real genuine issue of bishul. And why would you do that? Kedil hachem bo es hamita, in order to warm up a bed. You can read chapter 4 of Little House on the Prairie for more information about heating up a bed with like a hot water bottle. What about doing the same, creating almost like a hot compress, right? Or like a hot water bottle in order to put on like an aching, ailing limb, joint, knee, pulled hamstring, whatever. So for this, there's just another issue to be conscious of that maybe we'll get to at some point. That potentially is a refuah issue. Right? Refuah on Shabbos in itself is usher. If you're unfamiliar with the concept, it strikes you right between the eyes, because we're familiar with the idea of what do you mean? Even Shabbos, pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. It's true. Pikuach nefesh is absolutely docha Shabbos. You can do whatever you need to do in order to save a life. But other things that are just there to alleviate more mild discomfort, taking medicine, popping an Advil just for the sake of a headache, generally comes under the rubric of refuah, which is actually usur on Shabbos. So that's another side consideration here. But in terms of actually filling it up, that would be fine on Shabbos. Ayin beis, isra hatmana hu rak im yatmin bekelin. The problem of hatmana is only if you cover, if you conceal, if you insulate the food with some other kind of kli. Karin smichot v'chayotze bazeh, that's one form of hatmana, covered up with blankets, pillows, sheets, towels. Or, sorry, diri maichal hanesunim b'chli, meaning the food that's inside of the kli, you're then covering that kli, you're covering the pot, you're covering the 9x13, you're covering the soup pot with, let's say, towels and blankets and the like. Oh, and miyatzmin bekelim ele divri ma'achal she'enam nesunim bekli. So either way, we're talking about using, foil or plastic or dish towels and blankets, either to cover a kli that the food is inside of, or to cover the food directly. So meaning if you take, if you are trying to preserve the heat of, let's say, a kugel that's not in a pan at all, maybe, not in a pan at all. He talks about kugel beitza chama, like let's say a hard-boiled egg or something like that, and then wrapping it directly up in foil. That would be an issue of hatmana, right? Putting it inside of a pan and then wrapping the whole pan completely with foil would also be problematic. So that's what we mean when we speak about hatmana. Oh, im yamtin ochel shibichli bisoch ochel cham. Or let's say you take a kli full of food and put that into even other hot food. So that would be like putting a baby bottle in hot water, potential hatmana issue. Submerging something in hot soup and hot liquid, even though the liquid itself that you're submerging it in is ochel, it's food. Don't necessarily think of that as being hatmana. If you are insulating a kli with other food, with soup, with hot water, that's also a problem. However, aval ein iser hatmana behatmanas ochel beochel acher. There's no such thing as hatmana when it comes to direct contact between ochel and ochel. Afilu im kavanasa lechamo. Even if that's my kavana, I want to warm up this piece of chicken, so I'm putting it into my chicken soup, my hot chicken soup. I dafka want to warm it up. I want it to be insulated. I don't want it to get cold sitting on the plate, so I dafka put it into my bowl of chicken soup. Totally mutter. V'chein mutter says netach basar kar besoch marak cham v'hu shehalo eino nasun agave hesh. As long as it's not actually on the fire, we're talking about my own bowl or pot or whatever, then it is totally mutter to put, let's say, cold meat into a pot of hot soup, specifically with the intention to be able to heat it up, either preserve the heat or even heat it up to a greater degree. That's totally mutter. So hatmana comes up either if we're talking about covering food directly or covering a pot with towels, with blankets and with things like that, or taking a kli and submerging it in, let's say, hot liquid. That's all considered hatmana. But the food itself and other food, chicken and chicken soup, completely mutter. Rabbeinu, questions on hatmana? Yeah, go ahead.
Is a kishka considered fully cooked? Like those frozen kishkas?
Good question. I believe so. It probably says, I would think it says on the package, but I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's fully cooked.
So
you're asking about hatmana. You're asking about hatmana.
Yeah, like if somebody forgot to put it in the cholent, say, would they be allowed to add it to the cholent?
That's interesting. There's a better question. Why, if it's completely covered, why bichlal isn't that hatmana, right? If you're putting it in, right, I'll ask you a better question. If the kishka is really independent, right, if it's really independent of the cholent, so you have this other food item, it's wrapped in its own casing. Why isn't that considered even on Erev Shabbos to be hatmana with a dover that's mosif chom, which is usher on Shabbos? You can't insulate it even on Erev Shabbos. Forget about forgetting. Why is that mutter? I assume because it becomes part of the actual chalent itself and it's not viewed as really like an independent entity. That's a good question.
Let's say even someone takes off the casing.
So if you take off the casing, then it's part of then certainly it's part of the chalent, right? Then that's like it's an ingredient. It's an ingredient. Could you do that on Shabbos? So if it's completely cooked and it's a dover yavesh, and you first removed it, let's say, from the, that might be a chazara issue, or a hachzara issue on Shabbos, meaning taking something that wasn't previously on a heat source and then putting it on, right? That would be an issue in of itself on Shabbos, even though it's completely cooked, right? The same way that, let's say, taking the kishka and, let's say, putting it onto the blech on Shabbos, right? That would be a no-no. Putting it onto a hot plate. Hot plate is a whole different story, as we discussed. Hot plate's a different story, not according to Shmir Shabbos Gelchasa, but according to some other poskim. Hot plate is a whole different story because it doesn't really look like cooking because it's not a cooking appliance. But otherwise, that would be a problem either way because of Mechsei Kmevashel, because of returning something to a source of heat where it was not originally found on Shabbos itself. Question is, why is it not a Hatmana issue? I feel like I have seen something on this. Kishka in Shalant. I'll see if I can get some more info on that for next week. Hatmana. Davar Hamos of Hevel. I assume that even in the wrapping, we still look at it as just being part of the Shalant, but I'm not sure. But doing so on Shabbos itself would be a problem, even though it's completely cooked. They'll have to not have kishka that week. You know, our ancestors also went through a lot. Okay, if we have, I know we're really over time, but just in the interest of being able to start fresh with a new topic, and really this is very exciting, closing out Hilchos Bishul on Shabbos. This doesn't exactly pertain. Some of this doesn't. Some of this doesn't. Not exactly, but it's here, and it's really halacha lemaisa. So let's just try to zip through a couple of interesting halachas here. Dine kiru v'tzinun, cooling things off on Shabbos. So kli sheni ubo tav shelcham. You have a kli sheni, cup of coffee, and it's hot. Motu lisein oso lesoch kli acher ubo mayim karim. You could pour that into another cup that has cold water in it. In order to cool down that cup of coffee. The cup of coffee is too hot. You have another mug. That mug has some cold water in it. No problem. You can take that kli sheni and pour the kli sheni into the other kli. Even though it's true, the cold water is going to warm up a little bit, it's still mutter. If you're talking about a kli rishon, pouring directly from a kli rishon onto cold water, that's a problem. You could also go in reverse, putting the cold water into the kli sheni on Shabbos. I think we spoke about this. Water specifically is considered to be mechomer habishol. It's not cooked readily. So therefore, you couldn't pour from a kli rishon directly into cold water. Couldn't pour from the urn directly into cold water. But once there's water from the urn in that kli sheni, in that mug, then you could put cold water inside. Certainly pour from that hot cup of coffee into another kli that already has cold water inside of it. It would also be usher to place a solid food into cold water. Remember that we said that a gush, right, a solid piece of food is considered to be a kli rishon. Because since there is heat that's inside, that's contained within that piece of food, it never dissipates. That is a problem. You can't allow that to interact with water. That would be like the equivalent of having cold water come into contact with a kli rishon. So that would be usser. Now here, this is something that comes up all the time. What about ice? So what about ice? Ice in general. This has nothing to do with Bishul really, but mutar litein kubiyot kerach b'soch hamayim al menas lekarer samayim bahem. It's mutter to put ice in a drink on Shabbos. Maybe we never thought about it before, but important psak, it's mutter to put ice in a drink on Shabbos. V'afilu yufshar ha-kerach, even though the kerach, even though the ice is going to melt. We'll see what the potential issue is in just a moment here. V'ala haniach es ha-kerach b'kos reka. But to place ice in an empty cup, al-menas lishtos es meimav lichshe yishiru aser. To specifically put ice in a cup, allow for it to melt, wait for it to melt in order to be able to drink it, that's usser. Shekein yesh bo iser mishum nolad. That's a problem of nolad. That doesn't mean that if you have ice in your drink and then as it sits out, you end up, oh, I thought I finished the drink. And then you look and the next thing you know, there's still a little bit more. And there's some that's created almost as a byproduct of just having put in the ice in a mutter way. That's okay. That's mutter. But to specifically put ice in a cup, wait for it to melt in order to be able to drink it, that would be usser. Why would anybody do that? I'll tell you why you would do that. Because you're in somebody's backyard on a Shabbos afternoon. There's a shear, there's a program, whatever. And they're like fresh out of water. I don't know. It's the middle of the shear. You don't want to go inside. Water pitchers run dry, but there's still this like massive bowl of ice that's still sitting out. So you grab a few ice cubes and you know, put it on the table. No problem. And after a while, you know, 10 minutes in, you'll basically have a cup of water because it's so hot outside. That would be a real problem of NOLAD, of specifically trying to create a brand new product out of something that previously existed in another form on Shabbos. Is there said, no, gam b'Shabbos, gam b'Yom Tov. Just one last halacha l'maisa. Yeah.
What if the intention's not there? Just like you took some ice, you wanted to...
You want to have some ice, and then some of it just melts. I believe that's mutter. Meaning if the intention is that you're going to have it as a solid, as it is, right? Then some of it happens to melt, I don't think that's a problem. I don't think that's a consideration of NOLAD.
Is it a problem if you want it to be kind of a slurpee? Like my kids do that with ices. You have like the freeze pops and they dump it in a cup and they like mash it with a fork to make it kind of more like a slurpee.
Interesting. That might actually be an issue. Okay. Because I think the Mishnah Berurah talks about something very similar with ice and wine. That might actually be a NOLAD issue.
Okay.
I can let you know and you could blame it on me. I'm the killjoy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't understand. In Lakewood, we were allowed to do everything. We moved to Cherry Hill. That might actually be an issue, but let me let you know.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Chavra, thanks a million. So this is great. It's a huge, huge accomplishment. All Hilchos Bishul. And oh, one second. One chat question. English says, stand, not pour. Maria, what was that in reference to? Standing, not pouring?
For item number 73.
Item number 73. What's behind door number 73? Cliche, nibotach tocham, mutter litain oso, usoch kli acher, ubo mayim karim. As ha-tav-shel. That's more of like a hatman issue. Ah, okay, yeah, fair enough. Oh, even more so. That's certainly mutter. I see what you're saying. Meaning we're talking about, yeah, both are true. But meaning to take it and to put it inside of a cup of cold water. It's like sort of like the inverse of a baby bottle, right? To put it inside so that it creates like a cold water bath. It's creating like a cold water bath for the.
Yeah. It's placing the kli inside another
kli. Inside of another kli with.
It's like not pouring the content of the kli shini.
Right. Like the inverse of a baby bottle.
Right.
Talking about putting a cold baby bottle into this would be talking about putting a hot liquid inside of a cold liquid. Maisa, if it's in a kli shini, then. Why would you want to do that? You would want to do that because this way it doesn't also dilute the drink. But putting cold water in either direction, you have your hot cup of coffee, pouring it into the cold water would be mutter. Cold water being poured into the hot cup of coffee, also mutter, because it's not considered to be chomer habishul. Water is one of those things that cannot be cooked in a klisheni. Okay, but thank you very much for the point. Point is well taken. Okay. Great accomplishment, everybody. Yasher koach to all. Finished Hilchos Bishul. If anybody has any specific topic that they would like to try to tackle next, I am all ears. I had some thoughts myself, but either way, Mirtzah Hashem will be starting some new topic a week from tonight. Yasher koach, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.